King Herod, about that time, some wise men. Anybody got magi written there or kings? Yeah? All right, from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking where the newborn king of the Jews was. We saw his star as it rode, and we have come, rose, and we come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting with the leaders and the priests and religious keepers of the law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. But that's what the prophet wrote. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities in Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Isn't it strange? This is such a strange story about these guys. They turn up in one gospel. As we've said before, different times, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Only two of them bother at all to tell anything about the birth of Jesus. Only two of the four write the nativity story. We grow up with it, celebrating it every year, so we just think it's in everything. And it's actually not. It's only in two of the Gospels. Mark doesn't. Doesn't even touch it. Jesus arrives on the scene at 30 in Mark, and John, he doesn't. Luke and Matthew do. So it's only two, but only one of those two actually talks about these magi turning up. And we don't know much about them. The Bible really doesn't help us much with it, which is a bit frustrating, right? Because it's supposed to hold all the answers. So you look at it and you think, well, okay, where are these guys from? Well, these people are they're magi. They're you know they're godly people because they left the east. Everybody that comes west from the east is a godly human, right? So everybody that comes west from the east is good. So these guys, they came from the east, but they were searching for something that wasn't necessarily within their reach. They had a hope, which was what we talked about this morning. We had a hope, they have a hope that there's something better beyond what they can see. They have this hope, and so they come on this massive long journey trying to look for something that they don't have. Now, the Bible describes them in different ways. Some of you have kings. Some people have wise men. Magi is the name, and we don't really have anything in our traditions that let us know really what they were, other than when you do historical research. And these were a group of people that traveled around the ancient world installing kings. They're kingmakers. So they turn up in town, and we have this quite strange impression, because we often talk about three kings because there's three gifts. Because as soon as we see three gifts, we think, oh, there just must be three kings, one gift each. Not how it worked, right? They're not like sort of a cardboard cut. They're not a bunch of three camel jockeys, right? Like that you see going, that you see on the Hallmark cards. They're not just three guys yomping across, you know, the sub-Sahara, you know, over the sand dunes. There's a huge caravan of people that traveled with them. As they came to different places, they would install kings. They were followers of this messes with my head every time I come across this in the Bible. They were pagans. They were pagans. And we missed that. Reread the story of Balaam. He's a pagan. But they're pagan people that hear God. And I love that. Because without being a pagan person who hears God, I never find my way to him. If I have to wait to hear God until I've got everything together, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to be able to respond to God if I have to wait till I've got everything together. So in my mess and in my turmoil and in the wreckage of my life, God, by his Holy Spirit, as Tim said earlier, and as Mark prayed, he nudges me in the right direction, and you learn to hear him. And these guys are God seekers. Now, the pagan tradition that they come from is quite interesting because they believe in one creator God. Zoroastrianism is where they come from. So long word, so forget it. And they were astronomers, and they were scientists, and they were people who sought out truth behind different things. They were the first alchemists in the world. They were first people who blended metals, who did weird things with perfumes and essential oils and all of that stuff that we think, woo, is fantastic and modern inventions. These guys were the originators of that stuff. So as they went around the place, they didn't just travel with three of them. Now, when I drive into town, nobody notices. It's awesome, right? So you just come into town, nothing stops. When these guys come into town, everything stops. That doesn't happen if it's just three guys riding camels. There's a huge caravan of them. It's an organized troop. It's very possible that they sent advance parties ahead to arrange where they were going to stay because they were important people. This is an organized troop of people. So, and I know all this, and you can find it out just by reading the text, very simply. Because if anybody here ever been to England? Excellent. I knew there was goodness in the room. So if you've been to England, anybody seen Buck House? We call it Buck House. You call it Buckingham Palace. Right, Buck House. Yeah, anybody stood outside Buck House? Yeah? Anybody get invited in?
No.
Yeah, see? Isn't that bizarre? Fly all that way. It's sort of rude for not to ask you in for tea, right? So how do I know these guys are important? Where did they go? They went to the palace. Not only did they just stand outside going selfies of changing a guard. Snapchat. You know, one nothing like that. They went there and they got invited in. Not only did they get invited in, they met the king. Not only did they meet the king wanted a meeting with them. You see how important these people were? They're wandering out of the desert. The whole town is disturbed that they've arrived. The whole town. I drive into town, nobody's disturbed that I arrived. The whole town is disturbed that these guys have arrived because they know what they do. They're here on an important mission. They're searching for something and someone that's outside of their normal realm of experience. They've come into town. The king hears about it. He knows what they do. He sits down and asks them, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? He asks his own experts. He talks to these guys. He asks for a meeting with them. These are important people. And as they sit down and discuss it with him, they tell him some wonderful things. We saw his star. Where were they looking?
Up.
Good answer. Up. Up where? The sky. Do you remember? They saw his sign in the
heavens.
In the east. They saw his sign in the east, in the heavens. It's outside their realm. You have to understand that the ancient language of the Bible is so rich in the way it deliberately paints different pictures. I remember ages ago, I just look at the reference, make sure I got it right. Matthew chapter 12, when the teachers of the law come to Jesus, we talked about this before, and they say to him, show us a sign from the heavens. Why? Because the heavens are the realms of God. The earth is the realm of human beings. And when they went to him, it wasn't enough that he was healing people on earth. They wanted a sign in the heavens. And so these guys are saying, hey, listen, we saw his sign in the heavens. His sign's in the heavens. This isn't a man's made thing. Jesus is not born just out of the decision between a man and a woman. This is a God thing. We saw his sign in the heavens. His sign's in the heavens. It's outside our realm. Anybody ever looked for something that's outside their realm? Just... we know there's something more, but we're not sure what the moreness is. Yeah? I meet people like that. People call themselves spiritual people. We live in a time where spirituality is a fashionable thing. For a lot of years, it wasn't. It was just what you can see, what you can touch, what you can smell, what you can poke at. That's all that matters. It's just matter here, and we can overcome every problem by our humanness. Now, thank you, Jesus, people are realizing there's a whole other realm that we miss when we think like that, and it's the spiritual realm. So spirituality now is a fashionable thing, and I thank God for that, because in the middle of a spiritual conversation with spiritual people, you can talk about things that are outside our realm, and these are spiritual people looking for something more, and they come bearing gifts. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Like, myrrh. I just love the word gold, frankincense, myrrh. Sounds like a bad car horn, doesn't it? So just where my brain goes with these weird names. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bring these gifts with them on their search. They bring them, and we carry stuff with us as we search for things that are outside our realm. We live in a society that is so desperate to find the more that Ancestry.com makes a fortune out of saying, hey, just spit in this cup and we'll tell you who you are. That's how desperate human beings are to find the more.
We'll send you this plastic cup, spit in it, send it back to us, and we'll tell you who you are. I know who I am, you dipstick. My name's Phil. Like, I'm, like, you know, I'm created to walk the earth by God. Like, by God, that's what more do I need to know? Like, well, you came from Poland.
Well, when my ancestors were there, it wasn't even called Poland. So how can I be from Poland? Like doesn't make any sense. Spit in a cup, I'll tell you who you are. If you don't know who you are when you're spitting in the cup, the answer is not going to come from the... Anyway, we won't go there. A bunch of lost people cannot tell me who I am, is what I'm saying. Right? A bunch of lost people can't tell me who I am or where I'm going. The King of Kings can. The Lord of Lords can, that the Holy Spirit can. He can do that stuff. He's outside of my realm, and he's outside of your realm, but he wants to interact with us in the realm that we live in. And this journey that these guys went on, that was a long journey, that was a hard journey, that was time-consuming, that involved sacrifice. Anybody ever felt like that in their life when they're looking for an answer they can't find? There's a journey process to it. And they come along, and as they take this journey, it leads them to this place. Listen, it's great. Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. See, I'm not lying. It's in verse 7. And he learned from them the time that the star had appeared. So we find out later in the story that they've been searching for about 2 years. That's a long search. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back. You can almost hear the dum-dum-dum music in the back, can't you? Come back so that I can come and worship him too. Yeah, right. After the interview, the wise men went away, and the star that they'd seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with great joy. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. When you find something that you've lost, even when it's insignificant, there's great joy. You lose your car keys, you find them, woohoo! You lose your passport, you find it, yoo-hoo! It's just a piece of paper with a picture in it. They found the star that led them to Messiah. When they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him. You notice it never says that when they were in the presence of Herod, they didn't worship him. Isn't that great? They go and have tea with the king in the palace, and it never says they bow down. They walk into a stable house with a baby, and they realize they're in the presence of greatness, and they hit the deck. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful, right? They don't bow down in front of Herod, but they bow down in front of the true king. This journey leads them to a place of worship. Understand that? Like, it leads them to a place of worship. It brings them to a place where they're confronted with a king that they bow down and worship. And then they get out their gold, frankincense, and you can, you know, imagine them unpacking it, and Joseph's going, whoa, look at it, we got gold. Mary's going, oh, we got frankincense. Myrrh. What are we going to do with the myrrh? They worship the king. Now, I don't know what stage of that journey you're on. But I know that most human beings living on the earth are not satisfied with what they can just see, feel, and touch. I know that. I meet them, I talk to them, I sit with them in prisons. I sit with them in places all over the world. I sit sometimes with intellectual giants who I'm scared to open my mouth in front of. I sit with incredibly rich people, poor people, royal people, and slaves, and sit when they all have this in common. They know that there's more than that what they just experienced. They know that. You sit with the most hardened criminals in the middle of a cell, and the before they leave, they say, before you go, pray for me. Why? Because they know there's more. They know there's more. You sit with a rich family whose son is desperately off the rails and searching in his own way to try to find answers to life. And before you leave, they turn and they say, can you pray for our family before you go? Can you bless our house before you leave it? I was walking out of a guy came to pick me up one day in a Rolls Royce Shadow, you know, with the suicide doors that open the wrong way. The new ones. It was great. He picked me up in McDonald's car park. True. He said, I need you to come to my house. He was a Muslim guy, and he said, I need you to come to my house, but we can't. He said, well, I'll just drive through McDonald's car park. We'll stop. You get in, and we'll drive up. So he came in his Rolls Royce. It was a woohoo! Like he just sat in his car and drove all the way down to his house, and there was his wife, Zzzz, in his house there, and they're all there, and they get introduced to all these people and stuff. And he said, before you go, can you pray? Can you pray? Why? Now he's got all the books with the laws in them, but he knows there's more. He knows there's more. And he said, before you go, he said, I've heard that Christian people will anoint things with oil. Now, I have no idea where he'd heard that. He must have heard it in some conversation with somebody somewhere. And he said, could you do that here? Can you do that in our house? And in a country where it's illegal to display a cross, I'm standing there with his cooking oil from his olive oil from his thing, just making the sign of the cross on their foreheads. You're just going down the road praying for the people in their family. Why? Because they know there's more. They know there's more. And there's something in us that knows there's more. And it's leading us to somebody that we worship. It's leading us there. I want to pray for us. That as we're on this journey, that we allow God to lead us. We allow Him to lead us. And that we say, God, I'm prepared for You to lead me. I don't have all the answers, but I know there's more. And that more is where my hope is. That more is where my hope is. Right, so stand with me if you will, and we'll pray together. And then Tim and his family will lead us in a song, and then we'll go. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as these magi, these kingmakers, these wise men, as they journeyed, we are on a similar journey. Father, we don't carry much gold, or frankincense, or myrrh, but we want to bring what we have on the journey with us. Help us. Please, God, help us. Help us to say to You that we want to find the hope. Lead us. Lead us to a place where we find the One who should be worshipped. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Father, keep us safe. And as we enter this Advent season, as many people's thoughts and minds turn maybe towards the birth of Jesus that have never thought about Him in the rest of the year, we pray that all those people who are on a journey will be led to You, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will be led to a place of worship. Father, You are our hope, and we look for the more that is You. In Jesus' name, amen.